Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Left field on the run coming in Nathan Church. He has it for a Redbird winner. Collins, a fly ball out to left field, and the home season has come to an end as the Cardinals set off the fireworks celebrating a 5-1 win over the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yep, the Cardinals, they wrapped up their home season yesterday by beating the Milwaukee Brewers, and it's over. They did take two of three from the Brewers, however.
Well,
Milwaukee's already clinched a playoff spot, so they are going to the playoffs. The Cardinals are not going, unfortunately. Yeah. And now they will start a series tonight in San Francisco, three-gamer. Then they've got three games of Wrigley Field. And that is it for 2025. By the way, I'd like to ask some of the whoever is with the team if they felt the quake this morning. Because there was an earthquake in San Francisco.
There was.
Like a 4.5.
Yeah. I don't know how far would a 4.5 go? Because the CBS News talked about the guys that had the dishes on the floor and the pictures off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they lost a coffee cup or two.
Yeah, it's possible.
Matt
Pauly is here in town, so he's not on the trip in San Francisco, and Matt joins us now. How's it going, Matt?
Going all right. How are you guys?
Good. You didn't feel that quake, did you?
No, there was a quake in Frisco?
There was, about 3 a.m. their time.
Oh, I am just learning about that.
Yep, so I think everything's okay, because it wasn't one of those 8.0 quakes where bad things happen. It was just a 4.5. So
I will say, when I was a kid... You know, we didn't have cable, so you had to watch what was on TV, 2, 4, 5, 9, 11, 24, 30, and those are the stations we had. So you saw a lot of things that you otherwise wouldn't see, and it was a Saturday. I think my parents were going out, so my grandparents were babysitting us and was flipping through the channels, and that 1970s film Earthquake was on, and I was probably like 5. Scared me.
You know what really did it for me was the 88 quake. The one that interrupted the World Series?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a real earthquake.
The real one. And that, I'm telling you, I felt that one for a while because I was nervous about driving down 40 right by the stadium where there's that section of the highway where there's the double-decker, like the eastbound is one way and westbound is on top of the other. And I thought that we were going to be driving there and it was going to collapse on top of us, like happened in San Francisco. Like, I was literally afraid of that for a while. As a child,
I hate bridges. I hate driving over bridges.
I don't like them either.
So do you know?
I'm not a big fan.
I know this is a rabbit hole, but I have nothing but bad dreams. I never have good dreams. Only one time when I was 12, 11, maybe I had a good dream. Everything else is bad, but I have recurring bad dreams. And one of them is the high overpasses, you know, like the pretzel exchanges where it's high and curving, almost like a roller coaster. And I have horrible nightmares where I'm on those, but they're very, very steep and narrow and I can't stay on it. Terrifying.
I'm like, we're like-minded. I still have nightmares about a certain bridge that I would drive when I lived in Wisconsin that I hated. So, no, there's something about bridges that I do not like. And I count overpasses, anything where you're, like, up in the air above something else while driving counts as a bridge, as far as I'm concerned.
Last bridge thing before we move on to the Cardinals.
Yeah, move on now.
Yeah, last bridge thing. I'll tell you what was terrifying is the McKinley Bridge. Before they made the outer lanes walkways, yeah. You can walk on them. Now you used to be able to drive, and I'm telling you, they're like 5 feet wide, and people, I don't know how anybody drove their car out there, but they did. All right, so Cardinals wrap up at home here, and Nolan Arenado yesterday, Matt, basically said that he did literally say that he's in the way of some of these younger players, so it seems to me he knows he's probably not going to be here next year.
Yeah, that's, you know, they did the ceremonial thing where he was in the starting lineup and then they took him out before the game got started. Ollie wanted to get him one final ovation. All indications are that he's not going to be a Cardinal. Now, all indications this time last year, not this time last year, but 3 weeks from now, this time last year, were that he was not going to be a Cardinal as well, and they weren't able to work out a deal. Maybe he's more willing to accept a trade at this point. I still question what the trade value is. He's a declining player who makes lots of money, so the Cardinals would have to eat a lot. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot for him. It's probably a sliding scale between how much money you pick up versus what kind of player you get back for him. But yeah, those were those were very direct comments yesterday from Arenado indicating that his time is done.
And you don't really hear players talk like that, not very often. And I was kind of surprised he said it the way he did it, as directly as he did.
Yeah, that's always been who he is. Like, he's just a direct guy. He doesn't beat around the bush, and I've appreciated that about him. So of everybody who would say something like that, it didn't surprise me that it came from him.
Well, I mean, and these guys get it. It is a business at the end of the day. They understand how organizations work and how they evolve and how they change. But I really like Nolan Arenado, and it was fun to have him in a Cardinals uniform.
Yeah, like, two things can be true. Nolan Arenado is a great player, a future Hall of Famer, somebody who's been a really good Cardinal, and it's time for him to not be a Cardinal anymore. Like, those things can each be true. I don't know who's going to be at third. You know, if you would have asked me 3 weeks, a month ago, I was a lot higher on Nolan Gorman then. There was about a two-month stretch from June 1st into well into August where Gorman was the second or third best hitter over that period for the Cardinals, but he's really fallen back again. And it's just how do you trust this guy to be somebody who can be consistent? So I don't know if it's Gorman who's the answer at third. Maybe it's J.J. Weatherholt. Maybe that's the play here, that they want Weatherholt to be a third baseman, and he's going to be the guy. Like, I don't know what the plan is, but I think it's pretty obvious that it's not Nolan Arenado.
Is there an argument to be made for Gorman that he never really got the opportunity to start every day unless there was an injury? Like, it wasn't a thing where they said, okay, start of the season, you are our third baseman, go. And let him have that position all year long without, you know, yo-yoing him in a way. Is there an argument to be made for that, that he just needed everyday playing time?
What you say is true. He did not get that outside of injuries, and that was one of the disappointing things about this season, because the runway year was supposed to be for him. That being said, even when he did, you know, Arenado was out for a while, and he was the everyday third baseman during that period. And right now, with Contreras being out, he's getting some more opportunities. He's hitting .138 in September. So I don't connect his lack of opportunity to the lack of success. And I don't know if you're trying to connect those two things or not, or if it's just kind of its own thing. But yeah, Arenado being around certainly hurt the Cardinals' desire to give Gorman those everyday at-bats. But even when stuff happened that resulted in him getting the everyday at-bats, he went through a really, really good stretch for a while, but he was just not able to sustain it.
Hey, Matt, speaking of sustaining things, for about three decades, the Cardinals did sustain a high level of competitiveness and success, obviously under the auspices of John Mozeliak. But the Post-Dispatch had a piece today, this morning, about the Cardinals' attendance and kind of breaking it down by the numbers and how the Cardinals' attendance dropped by nearly a million fans from 2023, and that their average attendance of 27,778 tickets sold per game was their lowest non-pandemic average since 1995. And they have some charts and visuals looking at the Cardinals' attendance, how it was after the lockout, the strike, how fans were displeased with how Major League Baseball was operating. Took a while to come back. Of course, steroids and the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa race did so much in pulling fans back into the game. But when you see these numbers and how low they are, how much they've dropped, I kind of start thinking ahead on what's going to bring. Is there going to be a spectacle that brings fans back? Will it just be a winning record again? Because you know the fans will come back. I just want to know when, and maybe necessarily what's the catalyst for it.
Yeah, I mean, if they start winning at a high level, that's going to do a lot. Now, that being said, let's say next year they get off to a really, really good start and they make it in the postseason, they win the division and they do all these things. I'm not convinced that for next year that would raise the level back to like 3 million fans, because so much of your attendance during the year is based off group sales and things like that that happen for the most part in the off season. You know, when the Kiwanis Club in Oklahoma makes the decision that they're not going to do a Cardinals trip this year, you probably don't get that back in the middle of the year. That's probably something that they revisit in the next off season. So winning is the first thing. Go win more and fans will return. The one thing, and I don't expect this to happen this off season, but the one thing that can really lift attendance a bit is going and getting a player of note, going and getting like a real all-star caliber guy that gets the fan base excited. And I don't suspect that the Cardinals are going to be doing that this offseason, but I would also say this. If a trade presents itself at some point this offseason for somebody who can be an impact player and you can have control over for, you know, multiple years so that they can be part of whenever this team gets back to winning at a high level, I would hope the organization would at least look at that and see what it would take to get that. But right now, I don't really have high expectations for them bringing in a super high-level player. So I don't think attendance is going to be overly different next year. And, not to poo-poo your question, Amy, but like, there's nothing new here. Okay, like, it's cool. The Post-Dispatch gave a bunch of graphs that show us what attendance has been over the last 30 years. We've been talking about attendance all year. It's something that we know where they're at. We know why they're at it. And they just got to start winning more ball games, and then that's going to fix itself.
All right, last thing, Matt. Big weekend in college football, and Mizzou has upped themselves in the rankings. They are now in front of Illinois because the Fighting Illini just got absolutely smoked. That was so bad. But Mizzou beat South Carolina and the Illini lose to Indiana. Very interesting college football weekend.
It was. There was a lot of results that I took note of. I was most surprised by Illinois' no-show against Indiana. I thought Illinois was going to win that game. So I got that one wrong, and Indiana, I think, is better than even I gave them credit for, so credit to them. I was worried about that Missouri-South Carolina game. I think South Carolina's a good team coming in off a home loss to Vanderbilt. I thought they were going to give Mizzou their best shot, and I think they did. And when all is said and done, Missouri got a really nice win on Saturday.
Redbird Rush Hour tonight at 5 o'clock. Then the pregame show is at 7:50. The first pitch at 8:45. And I'm assuming you're on pretty much from 5 o'clock until 8:45, aren't you?
Yeah, and then late into the night for the postgame show.
Mm. That a boy. Go get him.
All right.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Cardinals and Giants tonight. Matt Paulie does have that pregame show, 7:50. Prior to that, though, Redbird Rush Hour. And you got Sports Open Line. Goes right into the pregame show. Then an 8:45 first pitch from San Francisco.
And I will overlook that he did poo-poo my question.
He did.
Yeah.
He really gave you the old poo-poo.
A little poo-pooed.
I got to talk to Sean Malone when we come back. Sean has covered the new executive order that the mayor has signed about data centers. And this is against the backdrop of the news that they're going to turn the armory into a data center, apparently. Or at least they're trying to. We will talk to Sean Malone from the KMOX newsroom next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Chris and Amy visit with the KMOX Newsroom.
All right, Sean Malone. First, let's, as we got the news about a proposal to turn the old Armory, which was a really fun entertainment venue, and then it sort of went under mismanagement or whatever the problem was, right off the highway, right near the Foundry, which is a rejuvenated area of the city. We were all excited about it, and the Armory shut down pretty unexpectedly several months ago. So with this new story that there is a proposal from a Creve Coeur company to turn it into a data center, and they've already put in the paperwork for it to push that forward. They then want to build another data center in the parking lot, which is right next to the Armory. So that's the proposal. Last week, we got the news about Mayor Spencer and an order that she had signed regarding data centers in the area. And what exactly does this say?
So it requires data centers to get a conditional use permit to create and operate a data center, which basically means they have to go through additional approval processes in front of the city to get the green light to do this. In the past, it used to be they would get data centers because they would just have to file, you know, as if they were operating a warehouse. And obviously, there's quite a bit of difference when you're storing data versus storing boxed goods.
And using the power and the water that a data center has to use in order to operate.
Now, with that executive order, that's a big factor. The mayor is basically saying the conditional use permit requirement is temporary for now, while the city works on requirements such as, you know, electrical usage, water usage, and things like that. You know, they're basically not going as far as St. Charles did with a one-year moratorium. During the process of while St. Charles is creating these requirements and such, the city's basically saying, we're keeping the door open. We're willing to hear from you guys. But I imagine considering all of the pushback we're seeing nationwide against a lot of these data centers, especially the very large ones where you hear the stories about people's waters being affected, electrical rates going up because of just how much power some of these data centers use. The noise as well. I imagine that the city, and knowing how they operate, is not just because there's now a conditional use permit, they're just going to be allowing data centers to pop up left and right. I imagine they'd have to make a pretty compelling case as to why this is in the city's best interest and it won't have a negative impact on the electrical rates you're paying, the life living around it, you know, with all the noise and the light pollution and what have you, you know, from these things operating 24/7, 365. So,
well,
during that time, like I said, that's when they're going to create those standards, those concrete standards of here's what you need to do with, you know, electrical usage. Here's what it needs to be in terms of water usage and things like that.
Yeah. And to your point about the living standards and the area surrounding it, the water, the infrastructure, especially in that area, specifically Midtown, that we've seen a revitalization. We've seen the new apartment buildings, the Target, the Foundry, all of you. Pretty close, Topgolf, they're all in that general area. So what does a data center do practically, logistically to the area, but also the aesthetic matters, you know, the vibe matters. And if you want an area to be attractive, a data center might not be the best choice for right there, even if they might be open to it in other parts of the city. Like just because you can confirm that the water won't be affected doesn't mean it won't negatively impact that area.
And keep in mind now, you know, we talked about the Armory. Chris, you said it was awesome. I've been there. That place was great.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the potential it has, especially just recently seen what that potential could look like. Now, without going too far down the rabbit hole, it was money issues with it. They weren't getting the funding from their business partners that they were supposed to renovate the place. They wanted to put a beer garden on the roof.
Yep.
I believe there's federal funding that was made available to create a bridge either under or over the interstate to connect it to the foundry, which would then, you know, allow people to just walk from one to the other, make it more accessible. But now, instead of another cool operation going there, it's just going to be a data center. That's something that nobody will enjoy. And when you talk about, I don't want to call it like an entertainment district, but all those cool things that you mentioned, mm-hmm. Amy, you know, the Foundry is right there. They just added a new Target there. Topgolf just opened up not too far away, not too long ago. It kind of feels like wasted potential of, man, we could have put this in just some random area, but instead it's going right in the center of what should be a more, I don't want to call it walkable because Topgolf isn't, I don't think off the top of my head it's necessarily walking distance, but you know, a little neighborhood that has all these cool entertainment areas.
A people first area, yes. Versus industrial.
I want a hangout place.
Yeah.
St. Louis City needs as many hangout places as possible. And this is a much larger scale than my old neighborhood, the Central West End. There's that corner of Euclid and Maryland where there's all kinds of bustle, right? And there used to be a coffee shop that was open 24 hours and a bar and another bar and then a restaurant on those four corners. And the coffee shop left and they turned it into a skincare store, mm-hmm. which fine, it's a business. Well, whatever, a business is a business, right?
But that doesn't have life around it. You don't have people sipping coffee outside.
Yeah, you remove a hangout place, mm-hmm. and you replace it with a skincare store. And that sucks. And I feel like replacing the Foundry, which should be a hangout place, with
the
a
armory.
Data center, armory, would replacing that with a data center would suck.
Yeah. Because it's not somewhere you can go and have fun. The Armory was a great place to go watch, you know, Mizzou football this past weekend. That place would have been ruckus with that game that Mizzou played on Saturday night. And all the food there was good. All the other little side entertainment, you can have your kid, if he's bored, go give him $20 to play some arcade games and run around and things like that while you're having a drink and watching the game.
And just a quick question to Sean before we let you go. Mm-hmm. The story about the executive order from the mayor of St. Louis about mm-hmm. future data centers, and then this newer story about turning the Armory into a data center, were those related at all? Did they happen to be concurrent?
I think so, just because, again, previously, you just had to get approval to operate a warehouse, and you could put a data center there, you know? Beyond that, it was kind of just the Wild West, and there were no regulations or anything like that. Now you've got to get approval from the city. There's no set regulations in place that you got to do X, Y, and Z to run a data center. But as I said, this is just a temporary solution for a very quickly emerging industry. So that way, the door isn't necessarily shut like it is in St. Charles City for the next year. You know, they're taking a one-year moratorium. They're not even talking to potential data centers. The city's at least saying, hey, we'll have a conversation with you, but you got to win us over, you know, show us that this is a positive thing for the community while we work on getting those regulations set in place.
Sean Malone, appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Anytime, guys.
That is Sean Malone from the KMOX Newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to Mark Wahlberg.
Not that one.
It's a different Mark Wahlberg.
Friends with Matt Damon?
No, it's a different Mark Wahlberg. He's a game show host. You've probably seen him on Antiques Roadshow and Temptation Island. Well, he's hosting Wheel of Fortune Live, which is coming to the factory next month. We're going to talk to a different Mark Wahlberg when we come back on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wheel of Fortune Live is coming to the factory October 21st. And we are looking forward to that. We're also looking forward to having a conversation with Mark Wahlberg.
Not
that Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, that's right.
We're trying to connect with him right now. He may have passed out because he wakes up at 3 to work out. So he might be very tired.
I think that's the other Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, it's the actor Mark Wahlberg?
Yes.
Oh.
This is Mark L.
Then I need to throw out all the prep I did for this interview. So
you
Mark Wahlberg.
Ask him. Ugh, Ron, okay. Continue.
Mark Wahlberg, game show host.
Yep.
You've probably seen him on Antiques Roadshow or Temptation Island. And we are going to talk to Mark because he's hosting this Wheel of Fortune Live at the Factory coming up here October 21st.
Really the whole spectrum of entertainment. Antiques Roadshow to Temptation Island.
Antiques Roadshow seems to be the kind of thing that you would love.
So what's funny is it does, but I mainly like to talk about it and make jokes about it in reference to it because I don't really watch Antiques Roadshow at all. I've seen clips. What's funny is on the show Frasier, which I have watched, Frasier and his brother Niles always watch the Antique Roadshow, and they have a drinking game that every time someone says veneer, they drink. So they watch the Antiques Roadshow and they're like, veneer! And then they drink it. So, yes, the Antiques Roadshow is right up my alley.
So we are joined now by Mark Wahlberg, who is the host of Wheel of Fortune Live, coming to the factory October 21st. Mark, thank you for being with us. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, we're doing okay. We love that this is coming to town. The Price is Right Live came through, was it last year, I think, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
We had that show come through. This one as well, and these are two of the most popular game shows ever.
I did Price is Right Live for many years. Todd Newton and I would switch off. But then once I started doing Wheel of Fortune, I'm kind of on Wheel of Fortune. He's doing Price is Right. So I'm excited to bring Wheel of Fortune to you guys.
Well, I love Wheel of Fortune. I grew up watching it with my grandparents. I mean, from the youngest age, we would sit at the kitchen table because they would always turn it on right after the news in one of those, you know, small box TVs, antenna TVs that everyone had on the kitchen counter.
Probably black and white.
Yeah, we would watch Wheel of Fortune. Loved it. And I will say this, just with the Wheel of Fortune Live, this is basically the, you could call it the audition process. Like winners of Wheel of Fortune Live, they might get an opportunity to be on the Wheel of Fortune that's national with Ryan Seacrest and Vanna White. Is that correct?
Kind of, but no, it's easier than that.
Okay.
So it's a live show, not for TV. Anybody who comes to the show, if they want to be part of the contestant pool, they can click that box and they may get called to come up on stage and play the game. But whether you end up on stage or not, in the lobby before you come in, there's a QR code that allows you to record an audition for the TV show that goes straight to the casting directors for the TV show with a priority. So they'll look at you guys first. So regardless of whether you make it on stage or not, you have a chance to be a contestant on the TV show.
Holy cow.
That seems like a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You know, it's been so many years on TV, and so finding contestants is a big part of the success. So we're glad that we can kind of help. We have wheel watchers who know the game who are coming out to see us every night. So in addition to them winning prizes, sitting in the audience, solving puzzles, making up on stage to win the big stuff, in the lobby, they can audition to be on the TV show. So everybody wins.
Mark, we've all heard of the Monday morning quarterback and how it's so easy to make decisions and so forth after watching a football game. But I feel like there is the version of that with Wheel of Fortune, that when you're at home in the comfort of your own living room on the couch, you feel like you can solve all the puzzles. But then I imagine in person, when you are on the spot, the spotlight's on you, and you're looking at the puzzle, that it is a lot harder than it is at home. Do you see that that happens a lot?
You could not be more right. It happens all the time. Much harder to solve puzzles when you're on your feet, under the lights, with pressure. And one of the things I love about the show is that the contestants we get on stage may be good at it, but sometimes they're not. You know, they just happen to show up with somebody else who's a big Wheel fan. So the audience always solves the puzzles, well, almost always, before the people on stage do. And you could tell by their applause. They don't yell it out. But if they'll call a letter, like if the contestant will say, is there a B? And before I say, yes, there are three Bs in this puzzle, you'll hear applause in the audience like they already know there's a B in the puzzle. So I love that. I give them a wink. I always say something like, you know, please don't yell out the answers. If you solve it early, I'm proud of you, but just don't say anything. People go along with that pretty well.
It's awesome. And there are 60 cities this is happening in. And information, wheeloffortunelive.com, if you want to look at tickets or just find out more about this. So when people come to it, I know this is the pretty typical question, you know, what to expect? How similar is it to, you know, watching it on TV?
So we try to give you as much of the experience of the TV show as possible. So what you'll expect is fun and games happening in the lobby before you even come in. Chance to audition. Then when you come in, my sidekick, Cody Dove, who's an incredibly funny guy, improviser, is going to be playing games with people in the audience as they're walking in. You can win a T-shirt. You can win a button. You can win an umbrella. You can win a Wheel of Fortune blanket. All kinds of giveaways that we're getting for just people standing up doing, you know, speed round type puzzles. And then we're calling up five at a time, several people out of the audience to come up, stand around the wheel and solve some puzzles to compete to end up in our main game that's happening later on. So there's another chance to get on stage. Once we found our three contestants for the main game, we look for another position that people won't, that will be surprised to find, that we don't bring co-hosts with us on the road. So we pick somebody to be the letter turner, to be the Vanna White role.
That's fun.
Out of the audience.
Nice.
Which is a big thrill.
That is awesome. I would love to be the letter turner.
That's the greatest. The greatest. And that's fun because I never know who I'm going to get. And there's a little something to it. Sometimes they point to the wrong letters and it's a whole thing. But the other thing that I don't want to fail to mention is that we get our three contestants. They play a game just like on TV. Audience will recognize that we do exactly the same stuff. And then somebody's going to win. They're going to spin the bonus wheel. They're going to get their envelope and they're going to try to solve that bonus puzzle. If they solve the bonus puzzle, whatever they win in that envelope that I'll reveal, someone in the audience is going to win the exact same thing.
Wow. Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
You could end up walking out of here with $10,000 for doing absolutely nothing but showing up with your wife or husband to go watch Wheel of Fortune.
That's a huge incentive. That's awesome. Well, okay. Here's what I know about Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
There are fans for sure, but there are a lot of fanatics. People take their Wheel of Fortune very, very seriously.
Oh.
Have you?
You don't.
Oh, yeah.
You don't even have the half of it. If I blow a rule, like if I don't call the rule the way it's supposed to be on the TV show, I'll get just boos and hisses from the audience. They know the game so much better than I do.
That's what I thought. Like, have you ever had somebody that was like a little too serious where you had to calm people down? Because like, I know there are fanatics.
Yes. I've had that regularly.
Wow.
And we love them. You know, I actually, rather than calming them down, I appreciate them for correcting me when I made a mistake. And then, what I love about it is it's entirely improvisational and it's not being aired on TV. So we're not going to do any pickups or second takes on things. So what happens, happens. And we're all there for the same reason. That's one of the things I love most about game shows in general, but specifically this tour. And a big reason why I agreed to go on the tour is that with the way things are in the world these days, with so much division, there's 90 minutes where regardless of where you stand in your own personal beliefs, that you're in a room with people who agree that they love this game show. And that's all we're talking about for one 90-minute session in your life. So I'm grateful to be part of that.
And in the process, it's possible you win 10 grand. You could get a trip to Hawaii. You can get a trip to Paris. There are all kinds of different things that might happen.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff from $500 up to possibly $10,000. $5,000 is a possibility every night. $10,000 if they hit the right stuff on the wheel to make it $10,000. But like I said, you know, we were in Vegas doing the show in July and had somebody come up and win the bonus round and open up her envelope, had $2,500 cash in there, which I think is a great gift. Mm-hmm. And somebody in the audience walked out with $2,500 as well.
Wow.
So I love that.
Hey, Mark, you hosted Antiques Roadshow for a long time. And so
I sure did.
I do have to ask, what was the most valuable item that you delivered the news to someone that, hey, your grandma's urn is worth this much money?
Let me clarify that as the host, I don't get to deliver that news. That comes from the appraisers and the experts. But I have seen some amazing things. I saw a baseball card collection that was worth $1 million. I saw some Chinese antiquity cups that were worth, you know, way out $900,000 or something like that. But my stories of Antiques Roadshow were all just about the people who came. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it is that they'll bring an item in, and while we're excited to see the value of the item, it's really the personal stories of how it connected to their family that makes us connect to it. So I was thrilled to be part of that show for as many years as I was able to do it.
That's the Antiques Roadshow has a traveling show, right?
Yeah.
It is a traveling show.
So, okay.
Antiques Roadshow has always been a traveling show.
I think it's why my mom went to it.
Yeah.
She had them look at something.
It was not too long ago.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was when they came through town. I think they went to Collinsville maybe, but So
there are a lot of other antique shows that have a name similar and people show up thinking it's Antiques Roadshow.
It's that one.
There's only one Antiques Roadshow. They've been traveling. I was on the show for, I don't know, 11, 12 years and I hit, I think, 80 cities in the time that I was there. So, you know, we have been all over America and they continue to do so. It's a great show. I'm excited, actually, that I'm in a movie that kind of is an homage to Antiques Roadshow. The show is, the movie's called Lost and Found in Cleveland. It's coming out November 5th, and it's about these beautiful stories kind of around Christmas time, but it's all connected through people having items that they bring to a televised appraisal, an appraisal TV show, just like Antiques Roadshow. So, yeah, that's exciting, and it's going to be in theaters coming up in November.
Well, Mark, we're looking forward to the Wheel of Fortune live show coming to St. Louis. It is at the Factory, October 21st. You can go to Ticketmaster to get tickets, or you can try the website wheeloffortunelive.com. So again, we're looking forward to it. We thank you for jumping on with us and talking about the show. It sounds really, really fun.
I'm excited about it. I'll be having a meet and greet as well. So if you want to do that, sign up for that. And good luck, and I can't wait to meet all of you.
That's Mark Wahlberg, game show host. Again, you will see him October 21st at the Factory for Wheel of Fortune Live. You've also seen him on Antiques Roadshow and Temptation Island.
Whoa.
That's where people are making out and stuff. They're making out on that island.
You're on Temptation Island. I'm at the Antiques Roadshow.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
We?
Us?
Yes, the Chris and Amy Show. We're giving away tickets.
For
the movie Soul on Fire. All of our listeners,
the John O'Leary story.
That's right. This listeners will have a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see Soul on Fire, the John O'Leary story, at Ronnie's Cinema on October 2nd. So you want to keep listening all week and all day because we will be giving away tickets frequently.
So that show is a week from this Thursday, so October 2nd, and we have 2 4-packs of tickets to give away, actually.
In fact,
let's go ahead and do one now.
You need to call the contest line and be the
7th
caller at 314-955-1120. Be the 7th caller. You could win 4 tickets to see John O'Leary's movie, Soul on Fire. in which William H. Macy plays Jack Buck.
That's right. William H. is in it.
What is John O'Leary's story?
Looking at us like that.
Well no. He was severely burned as a child.
Yeah. Right.
And he has overcome a lot.
Yeah. And there's a mentor. It's the story. The movie is not just at the beginning when the injuries happen and when he deals with being burned and the fallout of that, but it deals with his injury, his recovery, and then a mentor who helped him to overcome such a horrific accident and then to not feel like a victim and to become successful in life.
And John is a super nice guy. We've had him on, well, not on this show. I don't think we've had him on, but I've had a chance to talk to him a couple of times. Nice dude.
I talked to him with Charlie Brennan. He is, for loyal KMOX listeners for sure, have heard John O'Leary, you know, tell his story. So inspiring. He's been on with Debbie Monterey and Tom Ackerman. So again, I think St. Louisans are probably more familiar with John O'Leary. And now it's great that he'll receive the national attention. His story will have national recognition with this new feature film.
It's going to be very cool. So again, October 2nd at Ronnie's Cinema, Soul on Fire. We have a four-pack that we just gave away. And right now, Frank Ladd is speaking to our winner. So if you've been trying to call in and you're still trying to call in, you are too late, friend. But don't worry. There will still be one other opportunity today to win tickets. And there will be opportunities for the next 4 days after this. Because what this show does, Amy, is give stuff away.
A lot of stuff.
It's us being kind.
I think it's I think between all the concerts, the Blues home opener, which is very exciting. We're going to run into listeners everywhere. And with this, the John O'Leary movie Soul on Fire with the St. Louis connection. Again, like I mentioned, finally getting national attention with John overcoming the injuries that he had from being severely burned. His book, I think that was when Charlie Brennan and I chatted with him when one of his books came out.
Yep. So we think that you should go see the movie, even if you don't win tickets today or tomorrow or any other day for the rest of the week, October 2nd at Ronnie's Cinema.
Because, like we said, most of you are going to lose. But since we're giving away two sets of tickets, you have a slightly lesser chance of
being a loser today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.